is given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Let's just pray before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for just opening it up to us and helping us to understand it better, Lord. And we just pray now that you would just do that. Help us to understand it better. Maybe we think we know something, but when we really study your word, we find out we didn't know as much as we thought. So, Lord, just pray that you'd bless this time we have together. And we thank you so much for everybody able to make it here, Lord. And we just pray that you would open our eyes and hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Old Testament practice of hospitality is given to us in the New Testament as an important part of our love to others. Move that down a little bit. Not that my beard covers it anymore, but maybe it just sounds better. So hospitality refers to the practice of treating others as special guests. And both host, now this is an interesting thing, both host and guest come from the same root word that is used for hospitality and hospital, hospice, hostel, and hotel, and probably a whole bunch of other string of other words that go with that. It means to receive some as a guest and actively take care of their needs for rest and refreshment. The word hospitality is only used in the Bible four times. She knew that. All right, that's the only part I told her about. She knew the answer. I gave it to her. It's only in the Bible four times, okay? It's not like it's, you know, oh, it's all this hospitality, hospitality. But the practice of hospitality is mentioned other times when the word itself is not used. And that's kind of what we're going to be studying here. So we're going to go over that a little bit here. And before I started studying this, I thought I was pretty hospitable. But now, after studying it more, I think I'm really lacking in many ways. It is amazing what our version is, quite often, compared to what the Bible version is. You talk about Bible versions. Well, our version of an event can be totally different than what the Bible tells us about an event. So you may think one thing of yourself, and then you read and study the Bible and you realize that you aren't quite stacked up to that Bible definition. And I think we have some people in this church that are very hospitable, and I think we have some people in this church that are mediocre, hospitable, I guess you would call it. And then I think we have some people in this church that don't know what the definition of hospitable is. We have all levels here, okay? But my point is here, we all can learn more about being hospitable by studying the Bible. Someone has made a distinction between entertainment, okay? I think too often entertainment and hospitality have been confused. And I want to kind of go over that a little bit. Entertainment emphasizes things, while hospitality emphasizes the person, or a particular care for them. Entertainment, of course, a TV, it's entertainment. You can go and everybody sits in front of a TV and watches, that's entertainment. Well, that certainly isn't hospitality. Okay, so you have to understand there's a difference there, but I think the world has really taken and made hospitality just like, well, I'm here to entertain you. I'll dance and twirl. Oh, if I could juggle, I probably could entertain you. That would be good. I'll have to learn that one, though. We have to learn what does the Scripture say. And in Scripture, hospitality is especially practiced with strangers, travelers, and those in special need, kind of like, the poor people. And Jesus particularly wants us to reach out to the needy, to be hospitable. In Luke 14, 12 through 14. Luke 14. Luke 14:12-14, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors." All right, for the hard of hearing. I'm going to do it in Morse code. Oops, I'm sorry. I'm going to start over. "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Okay? That's a very important saying there. Jesus is saying here that he wants you to be hospitable to those who cannot or are totally unable to recompense you. When you invite in the poor, I guess then Jesus knows that you're doing it because you love him, okay? And not because you're only doing it to see, you know, what you can get back from this guy. You know, well, if I invite this guy over, maybe he'll do this or that for me. You know, it's not to see what you can get from somebody. And that's why it says not to the rich, you know, not the rich neighbor, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy brethren, nor thy friends, okay? So he wants you to do it to the ones that are more in need. So this, you know, if you do it to the people that are poor and in need, you know you're not going to necessarily get anything back in return from him, but you will be pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what he told us to do. This kind of reminds me more of when we were at PBI. I feel like while we as a family were at PBI, that was probably my most hospitable time. I mean, we would invite these guys over and people over from the church, and, you know, we had a lot of people over, probably half of the church, and that was a big church, you know, one time or another. And it was people that we didn't expect anything in return. We just wanted to be a blessing to them. It was just, you know, really, literally strangers to us. But, you know, guys who are at a college, first time away from home, no good meals, so we'd have them over a lot, okay? But it's like that, but it goes deeper than that, too, but it is very similar to that. You know, however, as we see in 1 Peter 4:9, it says, and we're going to go over all of these in a minute, but 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So we are also to practice hospitality with one another. And yes, it said, without grudging. You know, ouch. You know, we don't like to hear that. You know, ugh. I got to have so-and-so over, I got to do this, or I got to, you know, visit somebody, or I don't want to, you know, do that. But you got to do it without grudging. So hospitality is an action, but what we're also going to learn here is that hospitality is also an attitude. It's an attitude. It's what's in your mind about it. You must have the right attitude to make that action right and to be an acceptable action. So here are the New Testament commands to practice hospitality. Romans 12:13. Oh, I got it here. Romans 12:13. It's again, it's only in there four times, but I got a couple in here that don't have it, but it shows you hospitality. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. I'm going to read a few of them here. You don't need to search these. I'll be getting to Genesis 18 eventually, so you guys could turn to Genesis 18. But in 1 Timothy 3:2, it says, "A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." So given to hospitality, it's one of the requirements of somebody to be a bishop. Or even a deacon or a whatever you call it, another position in the church. 1 Timothy 5:10, well reported of for good works. This is one where it's not in there. The word is not in there, but listen to the context here. 1 Timothy 5:10, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. In Titus 1:8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So that, again, not the word hospitality used there, but be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Don't forget to entertain the stranger. Don't forget that, he's saying. Be not forgetful. That's a little bit, sounds a little weird. But don't forget it. Don't forget to do this. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. 1 Peter 4:9, and we already read that, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Okay? So now over to Genesis, Genesis 18. The story in Genesis 18, 1 through 8, I believe is one of the best examples in the Bible for hospitality, or to define it. And again, even in this case, the word itself is not used in here, but it surely will explain it once we've studied it a little bit. What did I say? 1 through 8. And the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. That's a bad word. I always think it's hearth, and Kim always corrects me. Hearth. They should just drop the E, shouldn't they? Just take that E out of there. The hearth. Now, where was I? 7. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So this story explains hospitality. This provides us just a wonderful example of hospitality. There are several precepts in here that apply to all times, okay? It's not just back in the Old Testament, you know, this only applied back then. This is something that applies to all times in this passage. And my first thing is, took me all that way just to get to my first thing. I know, that sounds bad. The first thing is, hospitality takes no thought for convenience. Hospitality takes no thought for convenience. It says there that the strangers arrived in the heat of the day, in 18:1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, we know that these are angels, but I'm not so sure that he understood that. So these, to me, he sees these just as strangers coming up to his door. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know, but that's kind of my thought on that. So it's not like, oh, here comes Jesus walking up to me, or God, you know. But he's just looking at these as strangers coming up to his door. And it was in the heat of the day. And this, to me, sounds not just a little bit, but a lot like siesta time. You know, the heat of the day, especially in that region, that's when you'd be taking your nap. You'd be laid out, man. You wouldn't be wanting to entertain anybody at that time. And it really, it'd be like a siesta, when the people in the Middle East, you know, find a place of shade and they rest until the sun began to drop. And then you could get up and start doing stuff. They worked early and late, but in the middle of the day there, they would avoid being out in the sun. And it really kind of makes sense. And when I was in Africa, it was very similar. They were busy earlier in the morning. You took that long siesta. And in the middle of the day, you didn't really do much. And then businesses would open up, and they'd actually be open later. Maggie and Matthew run into that down in Brazil. They don't eat dinner sometimes until 10 o'clock, quite often. They're out and about and whatever, and you know, then they start eating dinner at 10 o'clock. So I think it's the same in Brazil. So, but this is a time when these people would have been literally been having a rest. Okay, so it's a different custom. So yet, this didn't stop Abraham from rushing to serve them. Genesis 18:2 says, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground." He didn't say, you know, oh, come on now, it's too late. You know, let's just all take a siesta. You know, let's take our siesta and then we'll see about getting you something to eat, you know, which is something I would probably say. You know, let me finish my nap and then I'll get you some popcorn, all right? But not yet, you know, not now. So hospitality does the inconvenient. It was inconvenient. But hospitality does the inconvenient for the sake of others. My second point is hospitality rushes to serve others. Not just takes no thought for convenience, but it rushes to serve others. Abraham, Sarah, and the young man all work with haste, it says. It says that he works with haste to serve the three men. Abraham ran to meet them, it says in Genesis 18:2 there. "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Then Abraham went on and he hastened into the tent." You know, Genesis 18:6, "And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah." You know, this you know, all, you know, we keep saying, well, the words in the Bible mean something. Well, you know what? Listen to these words. He hastened. Oh, hey, Sarah, you know, come on, quick, do this. You know, it wasn't we got three guests out here. You know, what do you got to serve, dear? You know, it was, he hastened to it, hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth." Always hearth. So Sarah also made the cakes quickly. Okay? Genesis 18:6, "And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the hearth." And then Abraham ran unto the herd, okay? He ran unto the herd. You know. Of course, you know, you didn't just pull something out of the freezer or the fridge. You know, he had to run out and butcher the thing. He had to go get it. And he didn't just, you know, casually walk over there or call the butcher shop or whatever. He ran out there. And again, when he says it ran, I don't think it means like, you know, I'm going to run to the store. You know, get in my car, my air-conditioned car in the hot summer day, and get something from the store. No, I believe it means he took off running, and I couldn't do that right now. But no, but he ran to the herd, okay? Because I believe what my Bible says. It says in Genesis 18:7, "And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it." And right there, the young man hasted to dress it. He hasted, once again, means hurriedly, quickly. He hasted to do this, to dress the calf. "And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched the calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it." And that takes a bit of work, too. That's in the heat of the day. So we must learn to put a priority on our hospitality to others. Hospitality also practices full humility. Humility. Abraham bowed himself to the ground. Genesis 18:2, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." You know, and again, I said earlier, although this is a visit from the Lord, okay, we are not to bow ourselves down to our guests or whatever, but this was surely an act of humility. It still teaches us the importance of humility in the practice of hospitality. Hospitality puts others first and ourselves last. Luke 14:7-11. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, this is, again, a great example here. All right, take the lowest room and put others first. This is an example of putting others first. And I've only had one occasion where that was almost came true word for word. I went to a wedding in Minnesota to the good friends of ours, and our family, big family, so we just all sat in the back, or maybe three-fourths of the way back, Ackermans. And when we sat back there, you know, the grandpa that was a kid getting married, you know, came up to us and, no, you know, you, come on up here. You're like our family, you know. And that was, you know, very humbling to us, too. But, you know, it's not others, you know, but you need to be thinking of others. You know, we were thinking the family needs to sit there. But that has taken place to me. So you need to take the lowest room and put others first. You know, and again, this is a case of being a guest, but still it's being hospitable by not thinking of yourself more highly than you should be. Being a humble guest is also practicing hospitality. My fourth one is hospitality takes thought for the needs of others. Abraham took care that their feet were washed. All right? He washed their feet. Their bodies were rested and their hunger was satisfied. Okay? So he washes their feet. He relaxes, you know, gives them a time to relax, and he feeds them. Genesis 18:4-5. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And while they're resting under the tree, he says, I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. Remember, it says a morsel of bread. And even though Abraham sought that they might comfort ye your hearts, it said, Genesis 18:5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. He was caring for the inner man. He was caring for the whole person, okay, as well as the outer man. He was caring for them completely. And true hospitality is not necessarily having others just over for a meal, okay? I mean, you know, we all do that. You have somebody over for a meal. That's a form of hospitality, but it goes deeper than that. Hospitality is deeper than that. It's caring for the needs of others and attempting to supply to them whatever need they may have at that time or at any time. Hospitality also, my fifth one, hospitality works as service to God, as service to God. How does, you know, me being hospitable to somebody is a service to God? It doesn't even sound right, but you know what? It's a service to God. Abraham confidently stated, For therefore are ye come to your servant. You came here today so that I can practice hospitality to you. Ye came here today for that purpose, he said. He saw their coming as a providential work of God. It wasn't, you know, anything else, and it was to give him the opportunity to minister unto them. We should also count any opportunity we have for hospitality as an opportunity given by God. God gives us these opportunities, and so often we don't do right. We don't do the right thing. But we're given these opportunities for hospitality to show God that we want to serve him. Hospitality, my sixth thing is, hospitality does more than is necessary. Hospitality does more than is necessary. Everything in this story shows Abraham to be doing all that he could be reasonably expected to do, okay? And then more. And then he went, you know, a step further. He went one more step. You know, he did what he would have should have done, but then he always took that one more step. He promised them a morsel of bread. Like I said earlier, if you come to my house, you may only get a piece of popcorn or maybe a handful of popcorn. You know, he said, hey, let me get you a morsel of bread. So maybe some bread, maybe some water. You know, that's what he told them. That's what he said he was going to give them. But hospitality does more than is necessary. Genesis 18:5 said, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And then he went on, and what was the first thing? Abundance of cakes. You know, hey, Sarah, make an abundance of cakes. Make some cakes for these people. Make some bread. Make this, make that. And it goes on. Plus, a calf tender and good. Boy, that sounds pretty good. Kim and I just had some really good steaks the other day. You know, but that's what he's given them. He's given them the best of his crop, his herd, okay? So he gives them the calf, tender and good. And 18:7 it says, and Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. You know, again, I'm thinking of me. I'd probably go out and kill the goat that was the oldest, lamest goat, and okay, I'm going to fix that up and give it to my guests. I probably have done that. Or shot the wrong rabbit or something. All right, so I'm not, again, I've learned a lot from this lesson here. But he got him the calf tender and good. And butter and milk. Ooh, boy, this is sounding good. Gooder and gooder. Genesis 18:8, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So hospitality goes beyond the basic needs a person has and oversupplies them. It gives them more than they need for the sake of just being a blessing. Just for being a blessing. Hospitality, my seventh thing here, hospitality takes care of others first. Others first. When Abraham brought all these things out to his visitors, you know, he stood by them under the tree and they did eat, it said. Genesis 18:8, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And I don't think it means, you know, they. I think it means they. They did eat while he stood under the tree. Maybe then he ate something after they ate, but it doesn't even talk about that. He wanted to take care of their needs and put his needs totally out of the equation. He didn't even want it in the equation there. So hospitality cares for others first and only then for your personal needs. So we need to learn to look upon hospitality as a spiritual service to the Lord. And I think the best place that the Bible teaches us on this is illustrated in the judgment of the nations, where in Matthew 25, Matthew 25:34. And when you really think about it, it's almost scary what this says. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. He's saying, anytime you have practiced hospitality, anytime you have done anything like Abraham has done there, Anytime you've done that to anybody, stranger, poor, anybody, it's as though you have done it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are some scary last words in that passage. It really is. To me, it's scary because of the way maybe I've treated some people in the past. And I think, you know what? That was treating the Lord Jesus Christ like that. Have we acted on these things? So when we have a visitor come into this church, do you go out of your way to say hello to them? Do you even consider that hospitality is a way to show you that you want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ just by showing hospitality? And that you are easily able to accomplish this act of hospitality. You know, somebody comes to your door, you know, knock, knock, knock. Maybe somebody you know, whatever. You know, how do you treat them? Well, hey, how are you? You know, hey, come on in. Have a cup of coffee, whatever. I do that a lot too. But it's usually at Paul's house or somebody else's house. So, but do you practice hospitality? Somebody comes through the doors of this here door right there, that this, what do we call this? The house of worship? It's our house. This is our house. So when somebody comes walking through those doors, how do we treat them? Many times I've seen a new face in here, and many of our regular people here just kind of walk by them. You know, don't even think to say hello, let alone showing them real hospitality, okay? And we need to show that hospitality because, you know, that's awful when you do that. I feel that how you treated that stranger is how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to respond to you in heaven. He might be saying, yeah, that was me you just totally ignored. And he'll flash it back before us. Yeah, here. That was me you ignored. We should look at that person passing through these church doors or at our front door or whatever, just as Abraham looked at the guests that he had stop in on him. And we ought to be treating them with as much humility and sincerity as Abraham treated them. You know, and Paul and I were talking over one of those cups of coffee. I think, I forget what it was, but I had somebody call me and there was some lady and her father and somebody, you know, they were living in an RV and they called me from about the mobile home park. And, you know, it was cold out and she actually sounded cold and shivering, but they needed a place to park their RV somewhere. You know, and I think, well, man, maybe I didn't do enough. I said, well, you know what, we can't put an RV in our park, you know, sorry. You know, but that still pulls on my heart. You know, did I do the wrong thing? I did not, you know, I was not very hospitable, but I was factual, I guess, but it wasn't hospitable. I don't know. Sometimes we just don't do enough. And remember earlier I mentioned that both the word host and the word guest come from the same root word. Being the host, you know, you can and should be hospitable, but the point here is that being a guest, you can and should also practice hospitality. There have been some guests that I've had, and I think somebody else, you know, we get a lot of missionaries in our house, and sometimes you hear the different stories around, but, you know, where maybe somebody's not very helpful when they come over. You know, you might have a guest that comes in and just sits down and does nothing, you know. Well, don't you be that kind of guest. Don't be that kind of guest. Guest means hospitable. Host means hospitable. They come from the same root word. So when you are a guest somewhere, you should be showing your host hospitality. What can I do for you? How can I care for the needs of you? And we ought to be that way. I mean, it's amazing that we're often not. And if you know, and I know many of you are, or most of us are maybe, but I'm sure there's times where you have slipped and you maybe just sat back there and rested. And you should have been a little bit more hospitable as a guest. A guest can and should be caring for the needs of others, just as a host should be. And we should be given to hospitality whenever we come across a stranger or a poor person or someone in need. You know, we need to be caring for the needs of others. And mainly we need to keep in mind because, you know, again, the Lord Jesus Christ said it, not me here, and he always says it best, Insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So we should be given to hospitality in this way that we've learned from God's book today. So hospitality takes no thought for convenience. Hospitality rushes to serve others. Hospitality practices full humility. Hospitality takes thought for the needs of others. Hospitality works as service to God. Hospitality does more than is necessary. Hospitality takes care of others first. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for just being so good to us. Lord, you have just been just a great blessing to us. And we pray now, Lord, that we've learned a little bit more here and that we would all practice this hospitality a little bit better. And Lord, we just again pray that you'd be with all these prayer requests that were made this morning as well, and just that your will would be done, Lord. We just pray there's too many things that we have no control over, but we know you do, Lord. And we just pray that you would control us, guide us, and direct us throughout this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.